feel certain that, you know, we've got people that are interested in doing it. A lot of, not a lot, but quite a few of the younger kids. Also some of the middle-aged or elderly people in the tribe that are interested in seeing this done. Of course, we're going to run into some problems with some of the elders that don't want to give up this information because some of it is painful to them, some of the areas that we would be discussing. But just from talking with people in general in the tribe, I've really gotten some good feedback. They're interested in it, you know, and want to know more about what's going to happen with the information that they're going to be getting. So I think it's going to be a good adventure for that take on. I know that we're going to probably need some assistance and probably from you, Dr. Ramsey, as far as our techniques are going to be in getting the information. I know they're going to be more responsive to people within the tribe than without the outsiders coming in. And I think this is good, too, because people who are in the tribal organization know each other. They should know how to approach each other.
Definitely.
About the Western Chickahominy? They haven't pinned you down yet.
Well, we haven't really had anyone to volunteer or commit themselves to it yet, but I think we can get someone. We have some people that are interested, and I think that's right, isn't it?
Usually find the volunteers, whatever we say.
And usually those are the volunteers, or usually those volunteers are people that are either working full-time or involved in church and other affairs. Usually the ones that don't do anything or wouldn't do anything, but ones that are not doing anything in it.
No, I like the idea of students, or I think that's an area that can be, you know, can be exploited.
That's the grandchildren come to their grandparents.
Yeah, it would be a good learning experience for them at the same time.
Some of that you may be able to recreate part of it. You remember bits of it. Someone else remembers bits of it. Someone else remembers bits of it. And you can kind of piece together. So it's not as good as having the original person, but you can still preserve some of this. And some of it will probably become
I'd like to pick up for a moment and tell you something we are doing with children. This is the third year that we've done it, actually. It's an experiment we've done with the Lumbees. We brought in a lady from the Smithsonian, and the goal was to teach Indian legends and then get the children to interview their grandparents on what kinds of things came into the community first. We did fishing and farming, for example. And then we have the children write plays, and we stress that they should use their own dialect. We had a real problem with the teachers because, of course, everyone was teaching proper English. But you would not believe what these kids came out with. It was just fascinating. They produced all kinds of little booklets. They did the artwork. They did the interviewing. And I think we're not at that level yet. But keep it in mind as a project, because it's just been a wonderful way to reinforce these kids. And this year we brought in a film on India, as you know, the Smithsonian brought from the country of India an exhibit that had only been in America, and then unfortunately it went back to India, but they made a videotape. And we started the children on this videotape. We had them draw the costumes and things like that. And then we built our own culture from that. But the idea was to get kids to realize that culture is things that are all around you. Because again, no insult to the anthropologist, but a lot of times people think the culture is what the anthropologists have said that it is. And so we have a real relearning that we have to do as Indians. And begin to realize.
No bias.
Exactly.
Did that come through?
The children were just wonderful. I mean, it is so exciting. We're probably going to publish it. And this year, this lady has written 4 plays just on the things she has learned from the children about this community. And you stop and think how many plays you know about on the stage about Indian people. It's a whole area in literature and drama that we don't have much.
I thought, Helen, when they performed at the Discovery Theater and they did the first part of the project, it was excellent. I mean, especially with the
One of the rewards of the kids is we brought them all to Washington and they performed it in the Smithsonian Auditorium.
That's what I mentioned earlier. It's just a known fact that elders open up to children.
You're right. I hadn't thought about that.
Because children they don't feel challenged.
They're not intended to.
So we should keep that in mind as we get to maybe the second year. This is a project we could move to the lower grades with. We're using 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. See, and they're just doing very exciting things.
Let me poke one more question and then we'll take our break. We haven't heard from the Mattaponi. Do you know of anybody on your reservation who might be interested in going around and collecting information like this?
Well, right offhand, I couldn't say because I've missed left a lot of time in the meetings, and I had Curtis to come over. But I want to say one thing that you're all talking on here about getting the old history from the older people that's on the reservation and documented. That's something that should be did, and it's going to have to hurry up and do it. Don't all the old people be gone. You won't have them to talk to and find out and learn what happened back in there just 2 years. And that's something I think should be considered more by the middle-aged young group of people to talk to the older ones they have now and learn some of the older history. I know when I was just a young boy growing up, I had father and grandfather, and them were real old. And they could carry you way back down in the 1700s. See? But all those are gone. And soon the oldest ones we have now will be going on. So I think it would be good for the younger generation to get around and talk with them. And
it ought to be done by Mattaponi, shouldn't it?
Hmm?
It ought to be done by Mattaponi, not an outsider, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Should be did by each tribe.
On what? Can I get a suggestion? If you would get one of these small tape recorders, small ones, and just every time if you're sitting around just doing nothing, just think about some of the things that you and your father and you and your grandfather talked about in history and just put it on there so that it'll be on there and maybe just get some of the elder people on the reservation. Because a lot of times, if I would come over to interview you, there's certain things you're not going to think about.
No, that's true.
But if you had this tape recorder that every time something came up that you thought was important, you just push it on and talk to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might occur to you sometime like, you know, in the middle of the night, something you want to talk to that recorder about, tell it, you know?
That's true, but
it's crazy, isn't it?
You know?
necessarily, because a lot of, but you know, as you remember it, it's going to come back to you in little bits and pieces. Oh, no, that's okay.
I think we've reached a stopping place.
Yes, it's going to come back to you.
All right.
You'll be ready. They said the soup is on.
Okay. I'm going to redo a bit of my agenda.
Yeah. I don't really. I think I just wanted to do the framework because I think
it's
going
to be.
That's right.
Well, I think that's working.
I'm Helen Cherbeck, a Lumbee from United Indians.
I'm John Ogden with United Indians.
Marvin Bradley from the Eastern Division of Chickahominy.
Ray Adams from the Upper Mountain Line.
Leonard Atkins, Chickahominy.
Thomas Emma Jordan, Mosby Penobscot for the United Indians.
Michael Hall, Chickahominy.
Orland Adams from the Upper Mountain Line.
Tim Adams from the Upper Mountain Line. Ron Adams up from the Upper Mountain
Line. You want to get out on your own camera?
Yes, that's okay.
Coward. Coward. All right. Let me check a couple of things first to summarize what we did this morning. Are we all more or less agreed to some of the following things? That the interviewing of elders should be done by members of their own tribes, not by outsiders. Is everyone more or less in agreement with that?
I think that's the only way you're going to do it.
Okay. I'm double-checking these. It's part of an anthropologist's job to ask perfectly idiotic questions, so that's what I'm doing. Then we know where we are. So the answer to that is yes. Are we all in agreement that it is wise to use people of all ages, but probably even wiser to emphasize youthful, young interviewers in talking to the elders and getting them drawn out?
I agree.
Yeah.
That helps us know about
recruiting. Just have a proviso on that we not neglect any potential interviewers in the community. If we have young people, I think that's fine. But I almost feel like if you can find retired folks, you know, we have a big job to do. And so if you can find any level of volunteers, I would encourage you to be more open-minded and look at it as a way to train young people. And so you might want to put a senior citizen and a youth together, or a middle-aged citizen and a youth together, or a young age citizen and a youth. So I just caution you to be as open as you can so that you can see what your potential is.
Is there a general feeling in the group that we should, when we write for funds, try to write in money to pay interviewers, such as senior citizens, youth included, to encourage more people to get involved? This is something you need to be telling Helen about.
I don't necessarily think people should be paid. I think the supplies and materials.
Okay.
That's only my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think we want to do it, and I don't necessarily know that we should be paid.
Anybody else have any feelings on that? See, these folks have got to be writing fairly specific things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm having to ask you fairly specific questions and maybe nail you to the wall in the process.
There's a lot of other people who might have other opinions on that. Uh-huh.
I don't think they should be paid, but perhaps have some money available for expenses.
That's automatic.
Money available for call it a stipend, and it takes care of expenses, and it's something there to get some.
I don't think it's just have to get some. It has to almost be a labor of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's the only way you're going to get quality. Mm-hmm. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's doing it as a chore, they're going to just skip through it and get it done so they can give it to somebody else in the chore.
Yeah. Is there general agreement, or are there other opinions, that we ought seriously to do some scheduling of sessions to train interviewers?
I think basically we should have information.
Okay.
I think we should set up a, like an agenda of different things that we ask people.
Also have
so number one, we're all asking the same thing. We're all coming up with the same.
I was going to come to that in just a moment. Do you have any feelings or suggestions about who the trainer of interviewers should be? I'm willing to volunteer, but I don't know whether your tribes would want me to do such a thing. I can. I've done it.
I'd like to suggest that since we have a video here, that I would like to see the training be of this entire group first, a dry run here. And I would like to see us videotape the training so you could see yourself played back. That's always a good technique. We used to do that when we did training. And what I think would be good is to have a group of core trainers to do the training in this group, then have you bring people the next time and let's do another training session. And then when you feel comfortable, and I think you train on the with the questions and you do training on the technique. And I think those are two separate things. But it would seem to me if we could do it here and then do a cadre out of here, then you'd feel comfortable going back to your communities to do the training.
I can set this up with the monitor.
Yeah. That's really fun for people to see how they look and how they react.
I think it's, we've always used that as a good training mechanism.
Unless you're the actor, we don't.
You do lose a few that way.
I see myself on video or TV and I always swear I'll never eat again.
Always like 10 pounds heavier. 20 sometimes.
40.
Talk to somebody who uses it to do it.
But how do the Virginia tribes feel about that? Would you like a group session then? Should we definitely talk before we leave here then about setting times for group sessions? Okay. And we'll nail you to the wall about when to do it later. Okay. Let me see if there's something else. Well, I'll jump ahead. Maybe it'll still occur to me. Do you feel that either concurrently having me or somebody else do it, or do you want to try to do it, collecting the old published documents, like the colonial documents I've gotten there, to make up computerized tribal files? I suggested that in the specific agenda here, and I volunteered to do it. I would like to do it in the summer. If you would rather yourselves do it or have somebody else do it, the stuff is out there, and it doesn't necessarily have to be done by Indians, and it would save your manpower for the interviewing.
Political man,
political. I imagine,
no pun intended, we have no reservation.
Well, again, I guess I'm always
exactly
the wet sponge because I see levels of need here. And I would like to see us ask the state archives folks to tell us what they have in the state archives. Yeah, but that needs to be an official question from the group. We need an official answer, and we need a little, and then the next question should be after
we... I think you can handle that from UIA on our letterhead to the different museums and archives around the state, and then, present it to the group.
Yeah, and again, I want to get this interim commission,
Steve,
to understand that there are things you can do to expedite state resources beginning to be more aware of Indian needs in the state. And so that's why I would like to first have an official request to the state, again, from the Indian groups to the Indian Commission, and then an official answer, because we haven't had a great deal of luck, it seems, in moving the state forward. And again, one of our goals here was to, in the conference, to begin building that awareness and translating the awareness then into specific response. Okay, so they don't have much. Then we know that. Then what is the next step? We identify where the things are, and one of your final goals should be to go back to archives and say, Norfolk has this, Alexandria has this, Old Dominion University has this, University of Virginia has this. Now, that will not happen this year, but you set the process in motion so that eventually you have a handle on where all of your records are in this state. Now, Helen, you may have a handle on the number of these things already, see? And so I don't think you need to duplicate work, but I think we don't build awareness if we don't ask these questions. And I see that as a task that you do at one level. Then I think it's the oral history that you should be primarily worried about at your level. And then we talked about defining other tasks. Someone can go to the Smithsonian if you already haven't done that. Someone can look at the Frank Speck notes, which you have done already, so that we don't have to do that. But the point is, let's define all the places where your records might be. Organize those tasks and assign them to various people. Because you don't need to do that yourself. You're going to have your hands full doing your community interviews. But there are other ways to access these resources and build awareness at the same time. I think we need to keep that in mind.
One of the things that may come out of the interviews is places where there are records that are not necessarily in an archive, so this type of thing, like the records you were talking about that the older lady in the community has. And I think those types of things need to be recorded also, and try to get copies of those records to begin to build the archives concept. Yeah.
You mentioned going to all these places. Who's going to go to those?
We're going to assign various people.
Is that, various people in this room? Or?
No, there are resources outside this room.
Okay. But
for example, the State Department of Archives.
Okay.
Let's assume.
But do we have somebody here who's going to write the letter? Or?
We'll do that.
Okay.
Okay, from United Indians.
Okay.
We have in this room three commission members. So I think we write to those folks and we say, please, from the commission, go to the State Department of Archives and ask them to identify for us the Indian records in the State Archives. Now, maybe they'll say they can't do it.
No, they've done it.
Okay.
In the original. Wouldn't
it be nice for us to have it as a publication, though?
Yeah.
See?
Right.
If it's already published, then just send it back.
Hmm? That's good. Yeah, so they did that when we were...
Well,
so
we went through that. Yeah. Has it ever been published?
No.
Okay, then maybe that's the next step.
And what I've seen is not published
yet.
Yeah.
I'll print it.
Okay, but you see, I guess what's bothering me is there is a process here. Part of the process is building the awareness with the state so that we begin to get people to clearly understand there are Virginia Indians in these communities, there are certain kinds of needs they want.
And I think that's a built-in point, and that's why I'm glad you registered.
I'm not being fussy about it, but
no,
at some
right.
point, if we don't
yeah.
get the process started,
yeah,
it never gets started. There's another crisis, and we run in and we still don't have it.
You're not going to get it.
And I don't think you worry about printing it until we know they have it done, and if they say they won't print it, if they say they will print it, then maybe you get the contract.
Well, we need to be dynamic enough that we've got several levels going,
perspective.
Too.
Yeah.
The interviewing going at one level, the research for records going at another level. I mean, there's we need to have a multitude of things going at one time to keep this moving, to keep it from being something that's going to take a decade to do.
And see, what I'd like us to do is put all those things down and then make assignments.
It's also a way of identifying and developing resources, because somebody will say, we don't have that, or I don't have it, but I'd like to.
Now, a lot of these departments, the archives, and especially, well, the different agencies, I found many times, and I'm sure you did too, they dovetail. One's got duplication of another in there, and the anthropological area, and then you go into the archaeological. I've seen similar same documents. When you look, you saw that we were doing on that other research project. And if one doesn't have it, the other has. And if it's piggybacking, great. Then you know you've got a link to work with. And I think that's what you've got to look at. Make them work for you. You know, that's what the state's there for.
Well, other things, we will identify gaps this way.
One thing you said, when you were saying before about these are the things we should do, and the reason I said, like, who's going to do that, and you did say, you know, United Indians of America. In the past, I guess, we have said we were going to do a lot of things, and everybody says, yes, it's good to do it. And I don't mean this group, but we've all said, come to agreement that certain things should be done. And then we let them drop. And the next meeting, we come back and you say, well, we still have to do this. We'll talk about it for years. I was talking to Marvin outside. And we mean well, but we don't. I think we're poor initiators of getting things done. And that's why I wanted to know, you know, everything you had said about going to the different people to find out who has what. But at the time, you were saying this is something we should do. I didn't know that you were going to do it. That's why I was asking the question.
What we said in the last meeting, I'm sorry that we didn't get you a memo. It did go to the other chiefs about today. And I thought what our agreement was, we would take this conference, and we put the recommendations that you all made verbatim. We did not edit those. We certainly could have. And then we sat here the last meeting, and we put priorities together. And we clustered those under various subjects. And the subject that seemed to be most on everyone's mind was the correction of history. And we said we would start that process. We asked Dr. Roundtree to chair the session today and share techniques, methodology, and do a survey, which he did this morning. Now we're on the methods and techniques. Then we had said the next thing we would do is a meeting in which we brought materials that we have developed with other tribes to share with you, films, booklets, and books. Okay, and then by the third meeting, you will have looked at the second meeting and how other people took oral history and began impacting the State Department of Education and the state history. Okay, then by the third meeting, I would think we would be ready to write our checklist and our questions. I mean, I hope nobody thought we'd get all that